This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Place facing Holly so she thinks I'm actually paying attention when she talks.
And I can yell at you directly.
Yes. Watch the pointing. Harsh.
I know.
All right. Hey, Holly.
Hi, Dave.
Welcome to another episode of our holiday extravaganza.
And I'm glad that you called it holiday because we thought we ended Hanukkah. I did all the Hanukkah songs in the prior episodes, but I'm going to add one to this episode since I know Hanukkah will be gone, over, and done with by the time this airs. But I need to make mention of something.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Hanukkah just continues on and on and on. As I've described in the past, we push off Hanukkah until it's convenient for us. So as of this recording, we haven't even celebrated our Hanukkah with family. So, okay. You know, maybe you've got a suggestion, something I can play during our party whenever we do get together. What do you got? You got something interesting?
I actually have two songs, and I'm going to give a shout out, a credit to a friend of mine. His name is J.C. Douglas, and he's a good friend up in Halifax, Nova Scotia. He's the morning guy.
Ooh, the morning zoo?
Yeah.
They're a little older. Bling, 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 bling. Welcome
no,
to the zoo.
It's far from the zoo.
No? All right, fine. Well, then, maybe I'll still listen to him once in a while.
You should.
Is he good?
He's a team of three. There's three of them.
Sure. But who's the wacky guy on that show?
You have to listen for yourself.
Fair enough. Okay, so he gave you something.
So he listened to our first holiday episode, and he pointed out a couple of other Hanukkah songs to me that I did not know existed, and I'm almost embarrassed. And did you know the Bare Naked Ladies, Canadians, have he said three, but I only found two
they
Hanukkah
have to
songs.
They have to play Canadian artists up there.
Yes, I know.
It's a rule.
CanCon, I know.
So we love, Bare Naked Ladies are worshipped up there.
Yeah. Well, with good reason. They're funny and they're
smart.
Are
they still together? I think they broke up and then they came back together and I don't know. Anyway, but you've got a song by the Bare Naked Lady. I guess there's some Jews in there. Not that you need to be Jewish to sing a Hanukkah song.
I don't know officially if they are, but there are two songs, Hanukkah Blessings, and they also do a cover of Oh Hanukkah.
Nice.
Hanukkah Blessings appears on their album Bare Naked for the Holidays. Did you know, I guess as music fans we should know this, but the Bare Naked Ladies, they record at least one song on every album naked? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, they did not for this album.
Okay.
But despite that fact, thankfully, the joyful spirit on this original Hanukkah track will blow your socks off.
Well, I guess it blows the Bare Naked Lady socks off when they're recording.
Light the candles for
the Bare Naked Ladies.
All right. Fair enough. Okay. So thank you, Canada. Oh, Canada, our home and native land.
Okay, so what do you have? I'm assuming it's not anything Hanukkah-related. Well, we're moving on to Christmas. It could be anything. We didn't mention that this show is going to be a free-for-all. We're not limiting ourselves to music. We are anything that strikes you in relation to the holidays.
True, true, true.
Okay, so what do you have?
Actually, a bit of controversy as it's...
Prince?
No. Actually, we could talk about Prince later. He's got a great Christmas song that that I love. Kind of leaning towards Prince and lyrically, and now we've got the, you know, we've got the Me Too movement. Where do you sit on Baby It's Cold Outside?
Oh,
how
Dave.
how do you figure, is this something you could listen to? Because as I look through these lyrics, I really think it's this woman. This was something from the 50s. And this woman wants to stay, but because of social mores, she thinks like maybe people will talk. This is something that she wants, but thinking of what other people will say, this is not appropriate behavior for a woman in 1950s, 1960s society. That was my take on this.
If you read the lyrics, if you take away the current controversy about it, the revisiting of this, yes, I agree with you. I don't think there's anything, you know, it's her own internal struggle. It's not him necessarily pushing himself on her too aggressively. However, with the current movement, I can see that it might be interpreted that way. So I don't love the song any. I mean, it's a fine song. I wouldn't turn it off. But I would have a harder time listening to it, I think.
See, because I think of Elf, one of my favorite movies of all time. And there's Will Ferrell and Zooey Deschanel. It is also an inappropriate scene in a way. She's taking a shower, and he's just sitting there on the sink, singing along with her, unbeknownst to her, while they sing, you know, while she's singing the song.
So really, I'd better scurry. Well, maybe just a half a drink more. The neighbors might think. Say, what's in this drink? I wish I knew how to break the spell.
I'll take your hair.
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind if I move in?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
It's a cute scene, and it's one of my favorite movies. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know. So, I still don't have an issue hearing this song, but a lot of radio stations are starting to ban it. But I think the public still wants it. I think there's been some, you know, some surveys or, you know, just polling, and I think people still like the song. But I think it's people probably in their 50s and 60s who like this song, and the 20 somethings are going, no, this is not okay.
The 50s and 60s are probably just sweeping that, easier to sweep those ideas under the rug because the song.
Might be. Yeah. Parents are sweeping it under the rug and kids are going, hey. Yeah. This isn't a Christmas related thing, but I just read this in the Times that the song Kiss the Girl from The Little Mermaid is inappropriate. A woman in that writes for Princeton newspaper, okay. Noah Wallstein, she said, please stop singing Kiss the Girl.
I don't know the song. Do you have the lyrics there? I never saw The Little Mermaid.
Whoa.
I know.
But you've got kids.
I know. Well, my son
Disney.
Was never interested in Chelsea.
Chelsea was really?
Meh on Disney films.
Yeah. Wow. We were all about Disney. And The Little Mermaid. I saw it with my then girlfriend at the time. We went to a theater to see it. It was great.
Okay, can you read me some of the questionable lyrics in Kiss the Girl?
In her article, this says, the premise of the song originally sung in the Disney film The Little Mermaid is that male Prince Eric, on a date with beautiful female Ariel, should kiss her without asking for a single word to affirm her consent, despite the fact that she does not have a voice. Her voice was taken away from her. Despite the fact that an evil sea witch cursed Ariel's voice away, making verbal consent impossible. The song is clearly problematic from the get-go. She also said, removed from its cushioning context of mermaids, magic, and PG ratings, the message comes across as even more jarring. Lyrics such as, "It's possible she wants you to. There's one way to ask her. It don't take a word, not a single word. Go on and kiss the girl. And she won't say a word until you kiss the girl." Unambiguously encouraging men to make physical advances on women without obtaining their clear consent.
I'm not sure I'm going to weigh in on this just now, but meant to be perfectly innocent, obviously.
Yes.
But do you think somebody is combing through Disney films and listening to all the songs, looking for issues in any of them?
Always. I mean, these were things we grew up on. I am shocked that Grease is still acceptable.
No kidding.
That is a horrible, horrible movie for boys and girls to watch.
Yes.
And yet our kids watch. I know my kids watched it. And
I don't think my kids have seen it.
What is going on in the Cantos family?
I know.
We've
locked them in a cage since,
apparently.
Childhood, so, and not expose them to anything.
Huh. So anyway, kids are looking into lyrics now, and it's just inappropriate context in a lot of these songs. Saturday Night Live did a skit on it. They're just saying, you know, if you're cool with that, I'd like to comment on the way you look right now. And
no. Your booty like an apple. Champagne down your back. Then I drink it like a snapper. What you wearing, mom? Is your ass on the menu? Okay, sorry. We're just here with our friends.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Cool. Have a good night.
So wait. Huh? You're just going to respect our wishes?
Hell yeah.
Times have changed.
We on some new respectful stuff. So shake that booty.
If you want to.
Drop that booty.
It's your choice.
People love to touch your booty.
But we will respect your voice.
Pop that booty.
If you feel it.
Drop it low.
If you insist.
We gon' treat that booty right.
Cause we allies in this bitch.
I'm on a mission for that ass, but first I need permission.
No.
It was actually very funny, so.
Thanks for bringing that up. I wasn't sure you were going to talk about Baby It's Cold Outside.
Bag of downers.
No, I'm gonna come back with an upper.
Okay, I hope so.
Well,
let's see if I can bring it down. But go ahead.
No, this is another one. I don't know if it's an upper, but this is so fantastic. I'm guessing that you know about this, but I did not, and I'm crediting J.C. Douglas again. He sent me the video for this, and I don't remember ever seeing this. Darlene Love from Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this, SNL Funhouse?
Oh, yeah.
You do? I don't remember seeing this. This is so fantastic. Christmas Time for the Jews. And it had the animation from Robert Smigel.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
It's fantastic.
On Christmas Eve, the Gentiles gather round the Christmas tree. They stay at home and party with their Goyisha family. They disappear one day each year and pass the eggnog round. But it's all right, cause that's the night the Jews control the town.
I thought it was brilliant. I don't know how I could have missed this.
Oh, it's brilliant. And plus, it's Darlene Love singing it. And
yeah.
Darlene Love, I mean, I can go to the Phil Spector Christmas, which is on heavy rotation in the Sloan residence during this entire month. This is the greatest album of all time, and it's because of Darlene Love and the amazing songs that she sings. And there's a lot of other great moments in there, but she just brings it. She used to perform on Letterman every year.
With
Paul Schaefer. And when Letterman was on NBC, she sang the song Christmas. Yeah.
Every year.
Yes. So Darlene Love just brings it. She's the greatest and underappreciated vocalist.
Totally.
It's not Christmas until I hear the Phil Spector Christmas. And whenever I hear Darlene Love, it's the greatest.
Okay, I will look for Phil Spector Christmas, even though we know him Bahamas.
Oh, it's
and
great.
Christmas
oh, I
music.
Know. And well, here's my one fun fact about the Phil Spector Christmas. The album was released on November 22nd, 1963. What can you tell me about that date? Why would that be a bad day to release an album?
November 22nd, 1963.
Yes.
Let me go to the memory bank. That was the day Kennedy was shot.
Yes, it is. So that is why.
wasn't appreciated. Probably at the time as it should have been.
Yes, yes. Other things were on America's mind that day, the world's mind.
Well, that is a fact. I don't know if I would call it a fun fact.
Well, I know, but the fun fact is that it's so brilliant that the album endures and lives on to this day and is going to be played as soon as I get home. I hear those slave. Oh God, there's so many moments in that album that I love so much.
Okay, I will listen. I promise.
All right. So where's it going now?
Okay, I'm veering from music.
Okay, good.
And my understanding is there is a lot of debate on what I'm about to say.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Does it have anything to do with the Nakatomi Towers?
It does. So do you consider Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I consider it a great action movie.
Yes.
Not necessarily. Like you always point out, this is a good song. It just happens around Christmas time.
Right, exactly.
So this is a great movie that happens around Christmas time.
Yes, it does. And it is, I think you say a great action movie. I think it might be the greatest action movie. It is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I would not dispute that claim.
I love it, and it makes me want to go back and watch it. Maybe that's what I'll be watching on Christmas Day before we go out for Chinese food.
Very nice.
I think Alan Rickman is Hans Gruber. He was just such a brilliant bad guy.
Yes.
And Alexander Godunov, right? Uh-huh. He was his henchman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. And Bonnie Bedelia as his wife, you know, I know she's just the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Just the wife.
Yeah.
You know, the secondary character. I thought she was really good. And she had a big job, and that's why he was there.
Yeah.
Big job in Nakatomi Plaza.
That's right.
Yeah.
Was the limo driver was playing the Christmas Time in Hollis, Queens? Isn't that the Run
DMC
song?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's that's part of the holiday spirit.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
It is so 80s. Have you watched it lately? It's hilarious. Just watching what everyone's wearing or just looking at the clothes. It's phenomenal.
I think I'm gonna go back and watch it this week. And we tried to show Sam, my son. He's not. I mean, my kids are not that interested in movies, but. Steve said, do you really think he's going to appreciate it? Do you think he's going to think it's that great? No. I mean, it was from the 80s.
Yeah. The kids have to discover it on their own.
Yeah. Right. It's like making them listen to music that you love.
Exactly. Yeah. So Die Hard is still phenomenal. And I used to take off my shoes and just kind of like to rub my toes and just to relax on an airplane. But you can't do that anymore. People take pictures and then they shame you. So.
What did he call it? Make fists with your toes.
Make fists with your toes.
Yes. Yeah. Shoot the glass. So can I tell you a couple of fun facts about Die Hard that you might not know?
Go ahead.
Okay. I thought it was funny. I saw the title in Hungarian. The Hungarian translated to English is called Give Your Life Expensive.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't.
The sequel is Your Life is More Expensive. And the third Die Hard is The Life is Always Expensive.
I wonder why that is, if there's a Die Hard in Hungary that doesn't work. I don't know.
Or maybe they just tried to describe the movie somehow, and this is what Hungarians might.
Okay.
I don't know. And in Spanish, it's The Glass Jungle.
The Glass Jungle. Mm-hmm. All right.
Do you think everybody knows Nakatomi Plaza is a 20th Century Fox building by now?
It's pretty well known, but, you know, when you have tourists over, it's always fun to like show them,
point it out.
Yeah, there's Nakatomi. And usually when you say Nakatomi Plaza, it's something that a name that people recognize for some reason.
Right. Not Spock Plaza.
You watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No.
Oh, okay. Andy Samberg's character is obsessed with Die Hard. So he's always pretending. That's why he's a cop, because of John McClane.
Oh.
And, but he's always after his Hans Gruber, and you know, there's a lot of references to Die Hard in the show.
Oh my God! What is it?
Nakatomi Plaza. It's the most important monument in all of America. The building from Die Hard. Can we go in? Can we pay our respects?
Can we go in, sir?
Fine, just make it quick.
Yes! Pull it over there, Argyle.
What?
This is the name of the driver in the movie. We're going to Nakatomi Plaza. There's going to be role play.
I hear that show is hilarious.
It's amazing. It's great.
Maybe I'll give it a try.
Oh, definitely.
I'm going to tell you one more thing. Speaking of John McClane, do you know that he was not the first choice for the role?
That makes sense, because I don't think, looking back, I was interested in seeing it because Bruce Willis was just this guy from Moonlighting. And so I don't know if, like, oh, it's the Moonlighting actor. I don't know if I want to see that. Trying to think of others. You know, there was Schwarzenegger. There was... There was Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who did I hit on these?
You hit on a few. Many passed on it. Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone, Burt Reynolds, Harrison Ford, Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Richard Gere could have been
no,
I just don't see it.
It was a great high. It was perfect casting because he brought some humor and humanity to the role. I don't think anybody else of those names could have done it. So. Yeah, it was great. It was a surprise for me, and I own a copy of it, and I will. It is in my Christmas
to-do list.
I have my Christmas drawer that I pull out, and oh, look, there's Die Hard. So
good.
I will probably watch it again.
Okay, so what else holiday related do you have?
It's Christmas time, and you know, there's no need to be afraid.
That was my next.
Well, I kind of figured you.
Okay,
that's why.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's talk about this one.
There's no need to be afraid.
All right, who sings that line? Aha. Come on.
Oh.
Starts it off.
Who starts it off?
Paul Young.
Was it Paul Young?
Yes. Yes, Paul Young.
Okay.
Then who goes next?
Boy George.
Okay. Here's a fun fact I learned about Boy George.
Mm-hmm.
He was in New York at the time of the recording. Bob Geldof, the organizer of this event, called him and said, George, we need you on this. You are, you know, he's the biggest star in 84. So he needs to be on there. It's like, yeah, I'll be on there. So apparently he just hung up the phone and just went back to sleep. They got him on a Concorde, like the very last one. And then he came in and he recorded it. And it was brilliant.
And no one ever would have known.
Nobody was the wiser. So there was Paul Young, Boy George, George Michael, to Simon Le Bon, to Bono.
Wait, did we actually say the song is Do They Know It's Christmas?
Oh, do they know? Well, do you know the song?
Everybody knows the song, but I just figure we should officially.
Do They Know It's Christmas Time? Sung by the band called?
Band-Aid.
Very good.
Yes.
I'm not so sure now how well these lyrics hold up, or it's just kind of awkward. First of all, in Ethiopia, they celebrate Christmas. I think the majority of them celebrate Christmas, I think since the 4th century from what I read. So there's a line that says, you know, do they know it's Christmas time at all? Yes, they do. They do know it's Christmas time.
I think that's more, that wasn't meant in the literal sense necessarily.
Yeah, okay. Even though Bono delivers this great vocal to the line, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you. That does not, when you say it out loud tonight.
Yeah, I don't know about
that's
that.
That's not a great line.
Yeah. So. I agree.
Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. But say a prayer. Pray for the other ones at Christmas time. It's hard, but when you're having fun, there's a world outside your window. And it's
the time, this was huge to have all these artists in that song. And I mean, the amazing thing was when I heard it, like, I was able to identify each and every one. Oh, okay, there.
That was the fun challenge.
This was like, oh, yeah, that's Paul, yeah. Okay, oh, yeah, that's Boy George and George Michael. There's Paul Simon LeBon. I don't think McCartney was, well, he was there, wasn't it? Was he
oh,
there?
He did chorus.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have their own verse.
Yes, they didn't have a solo turn.
Yeah, David Bowie, Phil Collins,
I don't think they
Paul
were
McCartney.
I don't think they were in the studio at the time of this recording, and then they probably recorded at a different time. I think...
I think they were there.
Oh, here's the line. Those he asked but were unable to appear instead sent recorded messages of support that appeared on the single's B-side, including David Bowie and Paul McCartney. Also from those unable to attend included the members of Big Country and Holly Johnson from Frankie Goes to Hollywood. The Thompson Twins were unable to appear on the Band Aid record as they were out of the country and were made aware of the recording too late to return. But they donated proceeds of their then-current single, Lay Your Hands on Me, to the Action for Ethiopia charity.
Oh, very good.
So there you go. Shout out to Thompson Twins. Yeah. So and then, of course, I recognized the drumming from Phil Collins. That was kind of a nice moment to hear. To hear the drum fill.
Yeah.
He didn't sing, but he did play on there. Still huge. I think they've done like three or four others of these. Course, not as successful. Do you know who produced this song? We know that Bob Geldof and Midge Ure wrote it.
Yeah.
Midge Ure was one of the producers.
Producer, yeah.
And your favorite producer produced this.
Trevor Horn.
Correct. Good job. The intro, I think, it really works well too. That's kind of like, mm-hmm. Like this is something special. I like the sound of the record.
This is probably the single Christmas song I can listen to over and over. So this takes me out of my bah humbug.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I get that. Because at the time, yeah, this was such a big deal. And then, of course, it led to Live Aid and led to We Are the World and, all the totally 80s things.
Yeah.
After seeing Bohemian Rhapsody, I was wondering if Freddie Mercury was even aware of this being recorded.
Do you know why he wasn't, why they were not invited?
Oh, do you have an it? Oh, because I do not know. Because I was legitimately interested after hearing or after seeing the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder. Oh, and then thinking about this song. Go ahead.
Not invited because they had played in South Africa earlier that year, which violated a boycott.
Is that right?
And Bob Geldof ultimately forgave them and invited Queen to perform at Live Aid.
Okay. It's crazy that Bob Geldof, he literally took the ball and just like went nuts with this
the concept, the whole idea.
This whole idea, and made a lifelong commitment to this charity and other things. He is Sir Bob Geldof now,
yes,
because of this.
With good reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful that someone can be changed, so affected by this and moved by this movement that he
could get all these artists
pivoted
to the table and when
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, just passionate and did it all.
Do you know there was they re-recorded this in 1989 with Kylie Minogue, Jason Donovan, and...
Yeah, they've made four different versions of it, and I've heard a few of them. It's, of course, getting older and older, I recognize less and less of the artists on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
sad.
What you gonna do?
Yeah. life goes on.
There you go. And so do we.
Oh, we're having some fun on the What Difference Does It Make holiday special. We're going to take a break, though, and we'll be right back.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Oh, a free for all.
Free for all.
Free for all. Ba la 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 la.
Hey.
La 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 la. It's the holiday season.
Tis the season.
So whoop de doo, ba doo ba doo.
Is that an original?
No, that's the holiday season. That's the name of that song. You know that one.
Sounds like a commercial for Target.
They're all commercials for Target and Old Navy. You know that.
Yes.
Speaking of Target and where we last left you,
You left me at Target?
We were talking about Minneapolis, and Target is based in Minneapolis.
Good, good connection.
And so is Prince.
Yes. And so we want to talk a little bit more about Prince.
Yeah, Prince and Bob Dylan and Sinead O'Connor, I guess. Right. Just because that was in 1984 when Prince was at the height of his just superstardom. And Purple Rain came out. I was buying all the singles. I was buying everything. And so there were B-sides. And there was one on the B-side of I Would Die For You is Another Lonely Christmas. This turned out to be one of my favorite Prince songs. That's on a B-side. I'm sure there's so many other amazing things in that vault that will eventually come out. This was a song that I think I ended up, I mean, because I knew I Would Die For You, I ended up playing Another Lonely Christmas like all the time because I thought this was one of the best songs. I was like, yeah, like Erotic City, that was a B-side.
Yes.
You know, during that time, there were so many great songs coming out of Prince. Yeah. And they would just, you know, like, all right, here's one. Put that on the backside. Yeah. So that was one of my incentives to always buy the 45.
45s. That's true for a lot, not just Prince, but for a lot of artists, the B-sides turn out to be the...
Yeah, oh, sure.
It was another one. The Sweetest Thing was a B-side for U2.
Did it for U2, yeah. Springsteen. On the B-side of my hometown was Santa Claus Is Coming to Town. He finally put that, released that onto an official release. And
I didn't realize that was a B-side. I guess
it was. No, I mean, he recorded, I think, in like 75, and it was sent to radio stations, and they played it for 10 years. But there was never an official release until he finally put it on the B-side of my hometown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So it took him 9 years to finally put it out. But yeah, Another Lonely Christmas, it's not really a Christmas song. It's a sad song.
Because, as most of these are.
Yeah.
Not Christmas songs, I mean.
Right. I mean, these are things that happened at Christmas time. So, I mean, Prince has a lover and, you know, that he loves dearly who dies on Christmas Day.
Ugh.
Ah, I know. You know, so, you know, it begins, last night I spent another lonely Christmas And now when I read this, I think of, like, I could be singing this to Prince, because it's just, it's super, aww, super sad. Reminiscence about different things that they did. They swam naked in their father's pool, and they were caught, and they played the poquino, which I don't know what that is.
No.
Remember when we played poquino for money and you robbed me blind? And she was afraid of the number 9. And then she passed away on Christmas.
That's super, so sad.
It was super sad.
My mama used to say, always trust your lover. Well, I guess that only applies to her. Cause baby, you promised me. Baby, you promised me you'd never leave. Then you died on the 25th day of December.
After I read this, like, oh, I should do this on Christmas Day, because one of the final lines is, every Christmas night for 7 years now, I drink banana daiquiris till I'm blind. As long as I hear you smiling, baby, you won't hear my tears. Another lonely Christmas is mine. And just a phenomenal vocal, of course, from Prince. But I should, on Christmas Day, I might drink a banana daiquiri in his name. It's Purple Rain worthy. It could have been, you know, if it was appropriate for the... for the movie, it probably would have belonged on that album, because it's really a great song. There's one Minneapolis thing.
Okay, now you got, are they connected to Bob Dylan and Sinead O'Connor?
Well, there's Bob Dylan put out a Christmas album, which is goofy. I will go off forever on how amazing Bob Dylan is, but I won't. But he put out a Christmas album because he can, because he's Bob Dylan.
He can do whatever he wants.
He does whatever he wants. He just recently released a whiskey that I really want to sample. He did a thing on Fallon where they did like a little skit, but Bob Dylan said nothing. Like, they went to go see the circus, at the Big Top Circus, and they're doing all these tricks, and Bob Dylan and Jimmy Fallon are sharing whiskey together, and they're drinking, and Jimmy's like amazed at all the amazing performances, and Dylan's just kind of sitting there enjoying his drink. And then the show ends, and Jimmy Fallon stands up and applauds. And then he looks next to him, and Bob Dylan's not there. And he's like, where's Bob Dylan? And the performers look up there. No one was there. You've been alone this whole time. Like, yeah, okay, that sounds about right.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Bob Dylan appears out of nowhere. I wonder about him. I'm like, does he take out the trash? Does he do normal things?
Okay, wait. So was he promoting something?
He was promoting his whiskey.
Okay.
Which is called Heaven's Door, which I put on my Christmas list or Hanukkah list of...
Heaven's Door, okay.
Yeah. But he also put out a Christmas album, like all good Jews do.
Anything memorable from it?
Yeah, well, he put out this silly song called Must Be Santa, which I love. It's a video of just everyone celebrating... Christmas party. He's wearing a beard, and you know, just kind of having fun. And there's craziness going on all around him. But it's Bob Dylan. It's super tongue in cheek and super fun. Despite what a lot of people think, I think he has an amazing voice and is a great interpreter of songs.
Yes.
Who's got a beard that's long and white?
Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Who comes around on special night?
Santa comes around on special night.
Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Who wears boots and suit of red?
Santa wears boots and suit of red.
Who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head.
Cap on his head, suit that's red. Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa. Santa,
he's constantly reinterpreting his own songs. I really admire everything he does.
Everything about him. He's poetic.
I do. It's just insane.
So wait, is this holiday album, is it covers and originals?
Yeah, I think it's all covers. I don't think. Okay. I don't know if he put if there's any originals on there.
Okay. Worth checking out anyway.
But yeah, listen, watch the Must Be Santa video because it's fun.
Okay.
And it'll put you in the mood.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll send you the email on that.
I know you will, but I'm going to look. Okay.
And then the other thing, the very special Christmas. Mm-hmm. There's very special Christmas one. Special Christmas two is Sinead O'Connor singing the song I Believe in You, which is a Bob Dylan song. And that is from during Bob's Born Again period. This is when when I was growing up, first started getting interested in music and I heard about Bob Dylan. He was going through his Born Again Christian phase. Had just no inclination to ever go listen to that or pay any attention to Dylan. So I kind of skipped over, like a lot of classic rock artists that were going through weird periods, Neil Young and,
Bob Dylan was exiled from my house during that period. Oh, my parents are huge fans, but.
First of all, this, I Believe in You, Sinead O'Connor just does this beautiful, beautiful version of the song, I Believe in You. It's so great. I mean, it makes me believe in, she's so talented. And this song was brilliant. It still is brilliant. It's something that I play all the time. Something about her voice.
And I walk out on my own, a thousand miles from home, but I don't feel alone, 'cause I believe in you.
The way it was exiled in our, mm-hmm. in your home, this was played in heavy rotation in the O'Connor home. And she really gravitated towards this song. Mm-hmm. So this is something she grew up with, 10 years later, she gets the opportunity to sing the song and she just nails it. It's phenomenal.
Okay. I will give it a listen, but you realize she isn't from Minneapolis.
No, I know that. Well, but Bob Dylan wrote it and he's from Minneapolis.
Okay, just clarify.
I'm just connecting the dots for you here. Dylan puts out all these bootleg albums. Mm-hmm. I got the albums where he sings the Christian songs, the Born Again songs. They're amazing. I don't necessarily think it was he was born again. He just had a huge respect for these church songs. And I think he liked the form of it and he wanted to create his own. And he did. And he got these amazing musicians that played these songs. And so just listening through that whole box set, that's a treat. And it made me appreciate like that Slow Train Coming, mm-hmm. brilliant album. It's great. It's a great, great album. And
are you saying you don't actually believe that he was born again, that he was just singing the songs?
I think
I'm pretty sure it was official that he
no, I know he was kind of
Christian.
He was talking a little bit during the shows about, finding the Lord and things like that. Yeah, but that's fine. But I think it was he had more belief in the song form. Mm-hmm. I think he was kind of experimenting with that style, taking on their own. I mean, there's some great church songs.
Yes. Oh, we totally agree.
Yeah, I think he was creating some of his own, and just ways to live your life or things based on Bible verses. There's the musicianship on these during that period is insane. It's great, and I love Dylan during all periods of. He could do no wrong because it's, and that's the amazing thing about him is like you discover different things.
Yeah.
During different parts of your life, I guess.
I totally agree, and I'm not anti-Christian music. Certainly, I love gospel music. I love it's one of my favorite.
Yeah.
I love a gospel choir. It's not, and I'm not shooing his. The music, any of the music in any format is just, or any style. He was in my house because, my mom in particular was anti anyone who converted out of Judaism.
Sure. he had the same issue when he plugged in.
Yeah.
People were booing him.
Yeah.
They called him Judas. They, you know, just he's betraying us. Yeah. He's gone through all that, and he loves this. I mean, that's he wants to. Yeah. He wants to challenge the audiences.
But I get the music and the love of the music, and yes, and nothing but respect for Bob Dylan.
By the way, you should revisit Aretha Franklin doing singing in church, doing her Amazing Grace.
Oh, I'll listen to anything. I'll revisit anything Aretha Franklin.
Oh my God! Yeah, when she passed later, I pulled that up.
Okay, so moving on from the northwest,
Christians and death, and
northeast. I mean,
yes. Yeah. Go ahead. What do you got?
Well, I know that we were going to talk about some movies that you have a list to share of holiday movies. I'm thinking, but
yeah.
This song I love. I don't remember the movie. I don't even remember seeing the movie, but I love Annie Lennox, and it's Put a Little Love in Your Heart was from the movie Scrooge. So the song, the original song, Jackie DeShannon, was from 1969, but the movie was Scrooge was from 1988. And back then it reached number 9 on the Hot 100.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Annie Lennox. She sang it with Al Green.
Yes.
So another one right up there with Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was produced by Dave Stewart, her Eurythmics partner, but it was credited to her.
Well, you know, when you got Al Green in the studio, just kind of stand back and we'll let that happen.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a love in your heart. You see it's getting late, oh, please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place, and the
yeah, so that's it. I love the song. This is a really I think it's a happy song.
Oh, it definitely is. Have you seen, you haven't seen Scrooged, or you don't remember it? He plays a TV executive. It's a weird movie because it's kind of dark, but it's trying to be warm-hearted. It's trying to do both things at the same time, but it's.
Did it succeed?
Not necessarily.
You know, I remember
but
the
Bill
movie.
Murray's in it, so, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah. What else? Do you have anything else about the movie?
About the movie? No, not really. I mean, I have this list of movies from the 80s, Christmas movies from the 80s.
Oh, tell me something.
And this one was number 33 out of the top 40.
Scrooged. Okay, what was number one? Or how do you want to count them down, Dave?
Well, they listed all the, like, their favorite Christmas movies of all time. And they put It's a Wonderful Life at number one, which is... Why are you rolling your eyes?
I don't think I've ever gotten through that movie.
I bust out in tears. I know it's coming at the end. And
tell me. You're going to ruin it for me.
I'm not going
to
ruin it for
you. I've never gotten to the end.
Yeah, but every stupid time I watch this movie,
aww,
I just cry. Plus, also, we were watching this movie when my first daughter came into this world.
Oh, okay.
She yeah, it's a little of everything. But yeah, we were watching the movie when Jan was like, I think it's time we go to the hospital.
Oh, so okay. So it has a special place in your heart. And you can cry not because of the movie necessarily,
No, it's solely because of the movie. This line, you know, at the very end.
What is it?
Where they toast him. They toast him. But just everything that he's going through. And just when that comes and they break into Auld Lang Syne, it kills me every time.
The fool flew all the way up here in a blizzard.
Harry, how about your banquet in New York?
Oh, I left right in the middle of it, as soon as I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie, a toast. To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
Anyway.
All right, what's number two?
Because I didn't want to list all 40. Then there were a lot of movies that you didn't know.
Yell them out.
But I just cut out all the fat and just put it in the 80s movies because we're an 80s.
Oh, right. We're an 80s podcast. Okay. So which ones?
Well, number 40 wasn't even from the 80s, but I still put it in there. Number 40 was Home Alone, which is the worst parents ever. They're horrible parents.
Yeah.
I love Catherine O'Hara to death, but she was a bad mom.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
At the time, though, you have a totally different perspective.
Yeah.
The time of the movie that you're watching the movie.
Yeah. I know. This was before we had kids. So it's you know, just a goofy.
So you're not thinking about the parenting aspect of it.
Well, watching it now, I mean, it's funny watching movies
as parents.
Like, okay.
What else is on the list?
All right. So 33 was Scrooged. 26 I put on there, even though it's from 2003, because Elf is a movie that my family and I quote every year. I mean, there's so many amazing things in that movie.
I am going to watch that one again, too. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. You have seen it.
Of course.
Don't say of course. I'm starting to learn that you don't watch everything. You have not seen A Little Mermaid.
No, I know. Okay, you're right.
That's just,
don't assume.
Oh my God. I'm apoplectic.
You are. You're apoplectic.
As Tipper Gore once was when she heard Darling Nikki. 22 was Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas, just because, you know, Danny Elfman, but that was from 93.
Okay.
21, Gremlins from 1984. Gremlins, great movie. Gremlins and Gremlins 2.
They were considered Christmas movies?
Yeah, it was during Christmas time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that aspect.
Don't get them wet. Don't feed them after midnight. You know?
Yes.
There's a lot of rules you got to live. Those are fun movies.
Yes.
Mickey's Christmas Carol, 1983. It's good because Christopher Walken.
Oh.
It's great. Plays it straight.
That's good.
Yeah. Number 15, also a movie from 1990, Edward Scissorhands, but still.
Edward Scissorhands.
Yes. Wonderful. Number 10 was a movie I never heard of, but it's from 1984. This is called Comfort and Joy, about a Glasgow DJ who finds himself unexpectedly alone when he's dumped by his girlfriend shortly before Christmas.
You had me at Glasgow DJ.
Yeah, so there you go. So yeah, I know, I want to watch this movie now. I've kind of circled it and like, oh. Okay.
Comfort and Joy,
got 1984.
It. Okay.
Number 8 is Die Hard.
It's only number 8?
Yeah. Well, I know, there were others that I should have listed the top 10. But, and then number 6 is probably my all-time favorite from 1983 as A Christmas Story. Now, why have you not seen this movie?
What makes you think I haven't seen it?
Because from our conversations, I know that this is something that you have not watched.
I have not seen it.
Because we've talked about, like you talk about Chinese restaurants are open, and I immediately think of A Christmas Story, and, you know, it would just get a blank look from you.
Yes.
You have no idea.
Yeah. What, like, I'm missing?
Yeah, like, if I say the word fragile, that means nothing to you.
No.
This movie plays 24 hours in a row on TBS on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Yeah. It is the greatest movie of all time.
Oh, really? Well, are you really calling it that?
Well, Elf is pretty good, too. But Christmas Story is very, 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 very good. Directed by the guy who brought you Porky's.
Is that right?
Yes. Super sweet and just
funny. Oh, see, that's why I don't do sweet.
And funny. Funny. Dark and funny.
Okay.
There's dark moments and just there's cursing and, you know, there's dealing with
cursing.
Your parent. Yeah, just dealing with getting your mouth washed out with soap. My dad claims it's the story of his life. It's wonderful. And I really can't, I could mention things and I would just get this blank stare from you. But it's basically about this family, two boys, and them growing up and being, you know, there's bullying, dealing with that, dealing with the bully, dealing with trying to get the present that you want for Christmas, dealing with Santa and all that he represents. It's a wonderful story.
So you highly recommend it.
All right.
Okay, well, so and then my last honorable mentions are both. Okay, well, Vince Guaraldi, Christmas Time is Here.
Time is here.
Exactly, from Charlie Brown Christmas and You're a Mean One.
Yes.
Mr. Grinch.
What's the guy's name? It's like Thurl
Ravenscroft.
Yes.
Very good.
Nice. Both of those TV shows are amazing.
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. These are my favorites.
Yes. And Linus mentions the J word.
He does.
Yes.
Well, he's not Jewish, Linus.
I know, but you know.
Wait, what is this?
Anyway,
I can't remember.
But your parents let you watch that.
You know, it's funny. I don't remember watching it at home. I remember watching this from day one with Steve, who I've known for over 30 years. I don't remember watching it with my parents. I don't remember doing anything sentimental or holiday related with my parents.
Yeah. We used to, these were big things, you know. Oh, shoot. I'm trying to remember the spot. It was like Dolly Madison. Like baked goods.
Oh, probably. Yeah,
was
I don't
the
remember,
sponsor
but yeah.
of these the TV special.
Who put golden chunks of apple in a pie that's packed to go?
Dolly did it.
Who put juicy red cherries in a neat-to-eat treat? Who put a creamy chocolate filling in this great little pie?
Is this a test?
Nah, everyone knows it's Dolly Madison who makes delicious packed-to-go pies. Cherry, apple, and chocolate, all with flaky golden crusts. Dolly Madison did it.
Everybody knows that. Just give me the
and the Grinch.
Grinch is super good. Both of those are just heartwarming.
Yes.
And they're funny.
They are, both of them.
Still hold up well. Yeah.
Oh, our kids do love these.
And
they will probably hand them down to their kids should they have any. But the Grinch, you can, you know, make fun all you want of me and my lack of appreciation for these holiday songs and events.
Which I will continue to do.
But in this case, we listened to this soundtrack. We would go to Candy Cane from the time the kids were born. We went with my sister and my brother-in-law and their kids to Candy Cane Lane, and we would drive slowly. And we would always listen to the Grinch soundtrack.
Nice.
The Grinch album. I guess it was the soundtrack.
Well, I don't know any other. What's that song where they're all gathered? They're holding hands around the Christmas tree. Holy, holy, holy.
Yes, that's on there. But
they're singing nonsense, like Dr. Seuss does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm pretty sure that we had the whole thing as we were oohing and aahing at the lights, but, you know, it was really You're a mean one.
All right. Well, next time I'll give you the Phil Spector CD and you could pop it in there if you still have a CD player in your car. You can give it a listen.
I do, but we've given up on Candy Cane Lane.
You probably should.
We go right to dinner and gifts.
All right. Well. Oh, very nice.
So are you done with are we officially done with the holidays?
For now, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
Okay. Yes, I think we've exhausted.
Clearly, you are sick of this holiday and you just want to
humbug.
Yes, move on to whatever's next, to the new year. Let's get this over with. Let's move on to January and start anew.
I think that's a good idea. Maybe we'll even have some fun guests in the new year.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Oh.
Because we're getting old, talking to each other and rambling.
Never.
On about,
oh, we could ramble forever.
Yes, we do.
All right. So I've got some fun questions for you.
You do. You can ask me a question from our 1980s rock and roll quiz deck. So I'm going to pick.
Lovely. Okay. Let me mix these up real good. Did you take out all the other?
I did. We're not going to get any repeats.
Okay. So this will be fun. By the time we're done with all of this, maybe we'll move on to the 90s deck.
Yes. I don't know. There's not that many of these.
We may in 10 have to... years' time or however long. All right. Here we go. Are you ready? Ooh, this will be fun.
Let me put my thinking cap on.
Yeah. You're ready? Your thinking cap is on?
My thinking cap is on.
Okay. With a name inspired by a villain in the 1968 sci-fi cult film Barbarella, this English band made high fashion an integral part of their signature style.
You're looking at me like I should know this, and I know I should know it,
okay.
But I don't.
Okay. Their first music video appeared just after the premiere of MTV and created quite a stir. The BBC banned it, and MTV edited the topless mud wrestling scenes.
So this was Barbarella inspired?
That's where they got the band name.
Okay.
All right. The group went on to set the standard for music videos while releasing 6 albums in the 80s, 4 of which made the top 10 in the U.S. Name the band.
It's not Bananarama.
No.
High fashion. That should be my clue.
Yeah, you...
It's not Talking Heads.
No. But icons of MTV.
Godly and Cream?
No, they... What is happening? MTV used them well. And the band you made the most out of MTV.
Duran Duran?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Should have gone with the obvious. All right. Well, sorry for having you had to read the whole thing.
That's all right. That's good. Duran Duran, leading edge of Britain's new romantic genre, shaped a synth pop style as lush and pretty as their hair and outfits. Fueled by heavy exposure on the fledgling MTV, the band became teen magazine favorites and soared into the stratosphere of international popularity. They released 6 albums in the 1980s, among them Duran Duran and Rio, mm-hmm. Hungry Like a Wolf and Save a Prayer. Mm-hmm. The latter staying on the U.S. album charts for over 2 years. They made the cover of Rolling Stone in February 1984 and went on to record the title song for the James Bond movie. I remember the video because they filmed it in Paris and it was in the Eiffel Tower. Come on, Holly, you got this.
I know.
That song went to number 1 in the U.S. The only Bond theme to accomplish that feat.
I'm totally drawing a blank. Sorry.
It's a view to a kill.
Okay, I wouldn't have recognized it from that.
I know.
Just kidding.
I loved how Simon, it always seemed like he was out of tune, but it worked.
It worked, for sure.
Yes, I know. Then, at their peak of popularity, after a July 1985 performance at the Live Aid Benefit Concert in Philadelphia, the band split up.
Boo-hoo.
To form the band... There were like 2 bands. Can you name those 2 bands?
Power Station.
And? Nick Rhodes was in this one. This isn't from the card. But
Nick Rhodes went on to be
it was a band called Arcadia.
Oh, yes. With someone else was in it, too.
I can't remember who. I just remember Nick Rhodes.
Yeah, someone else was in
it. It was Power Station and Arcadia. They broke up and they formed 2
Station
other
bands.
Power
Station became more popular. Arcadia, I think, only had 1 or 2 hits.
Yeah, I can't remember what they had. Yeah. All right, so social media, please plug.
So you've got us on every podcast platform and Instagram, WDDIM Podcast, and Twitter, WDDIM Podcast, and Facebook, What Difference Does It Make Podcast.
Very nice.
I'm Holly.
I'm Dave. Happy holidays, Holly.
Happy holidays to you too, Dave. Mm-hmm. And to all of you.
And to all of you and yours. Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.